Is it Madison versus the rest of the state in the governor's race? Governor Scott Walker tweeted his 2 cents when Madison Mayor Paul Soglin announced last week that he's officially making a bid for governor. The governor tweeted, "The last thing we need is more Madison in our lives." We're breaking down that sentence on the state capitol report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Michelle Litchens is a small business owner from Burlington and a former Republican state representative. She's a regular contributor to our Week in Review programs. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kate.
What was your reaction to Governor Walker's tweet?
I don't know if I would have said it the exact same way that he said it, but obviously he's not the first governor to allude to that. Governor Lee Sherman Dreyfus said this, 40 years ago when he said that Madison is 30 square miles surrounded by reality. So he's not the first person to think that Madison thinks a little bit different than the rest of the state. And I believe that's because Madison believes in taxing more and spending more public money, and the rest of the state kind of goes in the other direction. And that really comes from the fact that Madison's largest employer is the state of Wisconsin. And I think you have some real job security and maybe a different outlook on your job in the economy when you have when you work for the state than when you work for the private sector, like the balance of the state.
So do you think it's just about taxing your citizens and having state workers here, or is there something more going on?
No, I really think it does come down to that. You know, I heard a very interesting interview, actually, on Wisconsin Public Radio from Catherine Kramer, and she wrote a book, The Politics of Resentment. I haven't had a chance to read the book, but she went around the state, and I heard an interview with her. She said something just fascinating. She was meeting with people in different restaurants, and she had talked with a group of men, and this one gentleman said, you know, when do you take a shower? And she said, well, in the morning. And he said, see, there's the difference. We shower after work because we work so hard. And I just think that there is a different thought process with a lot of people outstate that they think Madison doesn't work hard. Now, I know that even if you don't shower at the end of the day, that you still work hard. But I think there is just a different thought process that goes into working when you're working for the government rather than when you're working for a business or a job that you're not really sure if the customers are going to be there to buy your product next week.
What should have he said?
He just should have said that Paul Soglin is too liberal for the state of Wisconsin. When you look at his history and his resume, my goodness, the man decided that he was going to go visit Cuba 3 times and give Castro the keys to the city of Madison. You know, a man who has physically executed people for disagreeing with him. Paul Soglin thought it was a great idea to go down there and visit with him. So I think Soglin has a resume long enough on his own of being a liberal that does not represent the values of the balance of the state of Wisconsin. That if he was to receive the Democratic nomination in Wisconsin, I think that Governor Walker would do just fine for re-election.
Yeah, so you're referring to Soglin visiting Cuba in 1975, giving Fidel Castro the key to the city, and in a press release, the state Republican Party said Soglin has spent 5 decades advocating for socialist ideologies. Is Soglin too far left to appeal to people in areas outside of Madison?
Oh, I certainly think that he is. The mentality of the city of Madison, which is not bad or wrong, I just happen to disagree with it, but they do believe in taxing more and spending more money, and I don't believe you're going to find that, among other things, represented in the rest of the state of Wisconsin.
Walker's tweet stands in contrast to a recent $1 million marketing campaign the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation rolled out to encourage young people from nearby states to work in Wisconsin. It includes video of people sipping beer and wine on a rooftop overlooking the Capitol building and others kayaking on Lake Monona. It would seem that Madison has some positive things to offer, especially for marketing purposes.
Well, I agree with that, though. I think Madison is super fun. I love going to Badger games. I love going to visit the Capitol. Madison has a plethora of fantastic restaurants. I will say it's not the only city in the state that has some awesome food when you want to go out around and eat some great food. But so it's wonderful to invite people to come visit Madison. It's a fun city. No one's going to disagree with that. And maybe, you know, maybe if we brought in a few more people to the city of Madison, we wouldn't have 79% of the city vote for a Democrat for mayor in the next cycle like they did for Mary Burke. So I think it's great that we're trying to invite people to move to the city of Madison. And we know we're going to need to invite thousands and thousands and thousands of people to the state with the number of new businesses that are popping up in southeastern Wisconsin, because we're going to need to fill those jobs.
Michelle Litchens is with us. She's a small business owner from Burlington and a former Republican state representative. She's also a regular on Week in Review here on the morning show. Getting your thoughts on the governor's tweets about Madison, 800-642-1234. Do you think the state needs more or less of the city? What would you say is Madison's greatest strength or weakness? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Michelle, Governor Walker went on to call Madison a place where businesses have left and murders have gone up. The state Republican Party echoed those comments in a press release after Mayor Paul Soglin's announcement. Is that what's going on in Madison?
Well, the area around Madison is certainly growing. Epic did leave the city of Madison and chose to expand in Verona because the city wasn't willing to work with them enough for the space that they needed. And I've heard through others that Epic was talking about how high the taxes are in the city of Madison. So that was another reason to move. Madison obviously is still growing. I mean, you've got the hub of the university and the research that's going on there, which is going to lead to innovation and new businesses, which is fantastic for the state of Wisconsin. So, I mean, I think the governor was speaking in one direction that some businesses have moved, but obviously the city of Madison is still growing, which is wonderful for the state of Wisconsin. And crime there, you know, on one hand, has gone up in some instances. And, again, we do know that it's gone up around the state of Wisconsin. So, but when you talk about the liberals who want everything to be perfect and peachy every day, you would think that they would be bragging about having no crime in the city of Madison, and yet we know that that's going in a different direction.
So how much would you say is perfect and peachy the reflection of Mayor Paul Soglin?
I think he would like to claim that things are all going in the right direction in the city of Madison, and yet look at the racial disparity in the schools in the city of Madison. And again, I know we're plagued with this in other cities in the state, but you would assume that liberal Madison would have found a remedy for that already. I mean, Democrats control everything in the city. They, not just everything, they really control everything. When we had the police shooting in Madison, was that in 2015? You know, around the rest of the state, we were rallying behind our police officers. You know, you see these back the badge yard signs, at least in my area, all over still to this day. And yet we read stories and heard about reports that the city council in Madison was not backing their own police department for a time. And obviously that might have changed now. But you read those stories, and to the rest of us in the state, we're like, what are you guys thinking? So it just, again, alludes to a different thought process inside the city of Madison.
Amy from La Crosse called in, couldn't stay with us. She said the governor's comments about Madison sound an awful lot like President Trump's comments about the S-hole countries. Madison and Milwaukee are Wisconsin's most diverse cities, and he seems to prefer the rural voters. How would you respond to Amy?
It's interesting. We have been self-discriminating where we live around the state of Wisconsin for years. And conservatives are certainly leaving the urban settings and moving out to the more rural and suburban areas. We are choosing to do that as a people. The governor certainly isn't doing that for us. I don't think that has anything to do with what the president said. He didn't rip on Madison, I mean, in the sense that he said it was crappy or anything, but he just said we don't, and I wish he would have clarified. It's not Madison. Again, Madison has so many wonderful aspects to it, but we don't want the Madison mentality. I certainly don't want that in my hometown. I don't want to see the taxes go up and spending increase. And I just don't think most of the state wants to see that either. So I wish the governor would have clarified a little bit about the Madison mentality around the state of Wisconsin.
We're breaking down the governor's tweet. The last thing we need is more Madison in our lives. Michelle Litgen stays with us. She's a small business owner from Burlington and a former Republican state representative. She's also a regular on Week in Review. Your thoughts on the governor's tweets about Madison, 800-642-1234. Do you think the state needs more or less of the city? What would you say is Madison's greatest strength or weakness? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a news update. We're back on the State Capitol Report, unpacking a series of tweets by Governor Walker after Madison Mayor Paul Soglin entered the race for governor, joining into a crowded field of Democrats. One of the tweets was, "The last thing we need is more Madison in our lives." The other tweet criticized the business climate in Madison and the number of murders. We're talking with Michelle Litchens about this sentiment. She's a small business owner from Burlington and a former Republican state representative. Your insights and reflections are welcome. 800-642-1234. Would Paul Soglin make a good governor, or is he too Madison for your taste? What does being too Madison mean to you? Is there a tremendous divide between Madison and the rest of Wisconsin? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Rich, who joins us from Rhinelander. Hi, Rich.
Hi. Perhaps another listener has already pointed out this contradiction, but I do believe Governor Walker has an advertising campaign aimed at Illinois to lure millennials to the state of Wisconsin. And I respect your guest. However, anyone who knows any millennials knows they want to live in urban areas, and the areas that millennials might want to live in, probably because Madison is a fairly youthful city. It has a major university and several colleges. Is Madison, Wisconsin. A second-tier choice, and a very good one, might be Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But millennials range from conservative to ultra-liberal, and they certainly do not gravitate towards small towns where there isn't public transport and there isn't diversity of population and restaurants. And I just think it's contradictory for a governor who says he's a smart man to say we want millennials to move to Wisconsin, but Madison is not something that Wisconsinites want more of.
Rich, thanks for the observations. Michelle, do you see a contradiction?
Well, I don't see a contradiction necessarily. I do think we need young people to move towards Wisconsin, and how wonderful that that's even a thought now. Because if you remember a few years ago, we were talking about the brain drain. All of our youth were leaving the state of Wisconsin, and now we have the jobs and the opportunities to bring those youth back and ask others to move to the state of Wisconsin as well. You know, ZipRecruiter just said that I think the number one and number two cities in the state with jobs available are Oshkosh and Wausau. And Oshkosh has a really neat urban area downtown and some great restaurants. Appleton is really working on expanding their downtown, their transit, and the atmosphere that they want to provide for young people so that young people move to their community as well. So I think there are more urban areas to move to in Wisconsin that young people would appreciate other than just Madison.
Madison's unemployment rate is 2%, hovering around 2% compared to the state's 3.2%. Private sector employment in Dane County has also increased 15.7% between 2010 and 2016, and it went up 9% for the state. Why are Madison's numbers better than the rest of Wisconsin's?
Again, I think that does lead to the state being a top employer in the city of Madison. And I do find it interesting that businesses are growing around Madison. Madison, again, does have very high property taxes and high taxes and just kind of a different mentality. But when you have a university, as you should have research that comes from that university, and then businesses expand from that research. And that's a wonderful thing about having a top-tier university in the state of Wisconsin. And so I do think you're going to have some jobs grow there and just start there based off of the university, which is a wonderful thing.
Do you see a growing divide between the philosophies in Madison versus the rest of the state when you travel around the state?
Certainly. Again, 79% of the city of Madison voted for Mary Burke. That is not the way the rest of the state voted. So, and it just, I have to think back to when I first ran for office, and it really was more, not necessarily Madison, but it was more of the entitlement mentality of some of our public employees. And I'm thankful for our public employees. They provide services that we need, and we need to do it in an efficient manner, an effective manner across the state of Wisconsin. So I don't want to get into a battle there about that, but I think it comes down to that comparison of the people who are working for the state and don't necessarily have to be worried or concerned about having their job the next day. I mean, you don't often hear from state employees that are getting downsized, whereas in the private sector, that's something that happens on a regular basis. And so when you are outstate and you look down at Madison, a lot of times, really, that's what you focus on.
Let's bring in Tom in Burlington now. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Governor Walker, when he ran for president, when he announced for president, he spent $90,000 on a runway, a model runway over there in Iowa, or here, when he made his announcement. And it makes me doubt his capability as far as judgment, as far as money is concerned. He wouldn't allow us to have the high-speed rail that we wanted that was only going to cost us $5 million a year, supposedly. We would have had all the infrastructure and factories that would have made for us. He's giving away $3 billion to Foxconn, and he didn't tell them, he didn't tell Foxconn what county he wanted to put it in. If we're giving somebody $3 billion, we should have said we need it up here in northern Wisconsin. Those people in those counties up there in those Senate districts, they ought to be mad. I'd say, why didn't you go and fight for this thing and get it in my district instead of putting it down here in Burlington? And how can we trust somebody with judgment who has exhibited he doesn't have any money?
Tom, thanks for the call. Michelle, go ahead.
There was a lot there to take apart. I don't think you're going to find a more fiscally conservative individual than Scott Walker. The man still packs a brown bag for lunch and shops at Kohl's. I think the man is very, very frugal with his own money, and I think he's frugal with the taxpayers' money as well. You can't tell a private business where to build. Either they want to come here and build in southeastern Wisconsin with close proximity to the highway and to the interstate, or they're not going to. So when a business is looking to expand, as many, many, many businesses are looking to move to southeastern Wisconsin right now because of our interstate system, you can't tell them where to build. And the neat thing is that we are finding businesses across the state of Wisconsin that are expanding due to Foxconn. There was from Black River Falls, there was a construction business actually that's just starting to work down here now on expanding some roads. And they're, obviously based in western Wisconsin, and they're hiring people due to Foxconn coming to Wisconsin. And so we really hope to see and believe that many, many businesses across the state will be able to hire more people and raise wages because Foxconn moved to Wisconsin.
Michelle, as we begin to wrap up, do you see Governor Walker making this Madison focus a major issue in the campaign? Should Madison Mayor Paul Soglin or one of the other Madison area candidates become the Democratic nominee?
Well, I think if you use the word Madison liberal or Madison liberal bureaucratic Madison person, I think that does inspire or make some people think negatively about that individual. And again, Governor Dreyfus said the same thing 40 years ago. So this is not a new thought that's out there with people. But you certainly might hear that more and more. And if as you go up to northern Wisconsin or western Wisconsin and you talk about how much money they spend in Madison and then bringing that thought to state government, raising your taxes again the way that we had with Governor Doyle, and businesses were leaving the state of Wisconsin. So I do think that's something that might work for him, and it certainly wouldn't be the first governor that tried to use it.
Michelle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll catch up with you later on Week in Review in the coming months. Michelle Litchens is a former Republican state representative from Burlington, a small business owner and a regular contributor to our Week in Review programs. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What was your reaction to Governor Walker's jab at Madison? Do you think the state needs more or less of the city? Does Madison feel like it's a world away from the realities of where you live? Join the conversation, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Now let's bring in a different political perspective on the governor's tweets about Madison. The tweet in question, "The last thing we need is more Madison in our lives." You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Democratic State Representative Chris Taylor is from Madison. Representative Taylor, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Give us your general reaction to the governor's tweet about how we don't need more Madison in our lives.
Well, it's really the same divisiveness that we have seen from this governor time and time again. It hasn't helped our state. It hasn't helped the people of our state. It hasn't created any jobs. It hasn't increased wages. We really do need a governor who isn't going to attack the people of our state, but who is going to advocate for all parts of our state, whether it be Madison or Mequon or Minocqua. For our state to thrive, we really do need all parts of our state to thrive. And we need a governor who's going to champion all parts of our state. But instead, it really does seem that Governor Walker is more concerned about his political career than the people of this state. It's really hard to imagine that we have a governor who goes out and attacks his own state and his own people at a time when his own administration is launching millions of dollars in advertising, trying to attract young people to places in our state, including Madison. So I think it's really, really short-sighted. I cannot believe that the people of our state are not tired of these tactics. But this is what Governor Walker does. He goes after his own state, which is really kind of unimaginable.
The governor also tweeted that in Madison, quote, businesses have left and murders have gone up. We'll get to crime in a moment, but Oscar Mayer and Spectrum Brands were a couple of big employers that did leave the city. Does the governor make a valid argument that businesses have left Madison?
Look, the governor did nothing to stop Oscar Mayer from leaving. I talked to him the morning that that announcement was made, and he was very lackadaisical about doing anything to keep those jobs here. So that's on him, too. And his own Economic Development Corporation got a hint a while back that this was a potential, and they did nothing. So a lot of that is on this governor. But look, the other issue I want to make very, very clear that the last guest, it's really a shame Ms. Litchens doesn't spend some time in Madison, because what she would know is that what is driving our economy here is not the public sector, it's the private sector. The private sector is really a driver in general of the Dane County economy. In Dane County, more than 70% of the GDP comes from the private sector. So that's a huge priority for Madison and for Dane County, is to make sure we're doing everything we can to support innovation, support the private sector. And we are very, very fortunate that we have a very burgeoning technology sector. This is a piece of industry that is very supportive of the other very important industries in our state, like agriculture and like manufacturing. And so, you know, Madison needs a successful state to survive and to thrive, and the state needs Madison to be successful and to thrive. I really, really think this dynamic of pitting people against each other is so counterproductive. It doesn't help our state. It's not going to attract the young people that we need. It's not going to encourage them to stay in our state with its rhetoric and this attack that we have seen time and time again.
There were 11 murders in Madison in 2016, which the FBI says was the most in at least three decades. The statement you put out after Governor Walker's tweet didn't mention anything about homicides. Is that something that may harm Mayor Paul Soglin's chances in this campaign?
Well, look, our statewide murder rate grew at a faster clip than the population and a faster clip than the murder rate here in Madison. Madison still has a very low crime rate compared to other similarly sized cities. We did have a slight uptick in the homicide rate here, very slight. And when you have a very small we don't have a lot of homicides here in Madison, so a one-year increase isn't inherently indicative of a rise in crime. We're also talking about such low numbers that any little increase makes a difference. So it's not that we shouldn't be concerned about something like that, that homicides, I think, went from 8 to 11. Still very low. But still, we should be doing everything in our power to make sure we're a safe city, and we're still a very, very safe city, certainly compared to other cities of our size. So that's not typically, you know, I represent kind of the heart of Madison. That is not a concern that I typically hear from my constituents, that they feel unsafe in the city. The bigger concern, frankly, and this is a concern I'm on the Joint Finance Committee, that I hear from communities all over the state, is this governor has failed to invest in our communities. He's failed to invest in transportation. He's failed to invest in a consistent way in our public schools, which are so important. He has really failed to invest in the amenities that keep and attract young people, like our park system, like making sure that we're protecting our environment and not allowing these big corporations to come and pollute. He has failed to invest in our main street businesses. You have a foreign business that is going to get about $4.5 billion in taxpayer money that's coming into our state, rather than invest in our main street businesses.
Talking about Foxconn there.
We're talking about Foxconn, which honestly is a boondoggle and such little scrutiny. I mean, your last guest talked about how fiscally prudent this governor is. I absolutely disagree.
Do you think Foxconn will become a central point in the race for governor?
Look, I want to say I hope that it is a successful project, obviously. However, it is so devastating in terms of just how much it costs in every person in this state, every family, every kitchen table is going to be paying for it. Every single household in this state is going to be paying for it. It's going to cost, in just a few budget cycles, hundreds of thousands of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, and that's going to come from, I fear, our public schools, our roads, our communities. So I do think Foxconn is going to be an issue in this race.
We're talking about the governor's response when Madison Mayor Paul Soglin officially entered the race for governor, joining a crowded Democratic field. The tweet that got people talking, "The last thing we need is more Madison in our lives." State Representative Chris Taylor stays with us to give her assessment. She's a Democrat from Madison. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have a reaction toward this tweet? Do you think the tweet is a fair characterization of Madison? Why or why not? 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll return to the conversation, maybe hear from you, after this news update. What do you make of Governor Walker's tweets about Madison? "The last thing we need is more Madison in our lives." And another tweet that criticized the business climate in Madison and its murder rate. We're getting two perspectives on this edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In the second half of the hour, State Representative Chris Taylor stays with us. She's a Democrat from Madison. Getting your thoughts on Madison and the governor's criticisms as well at 800-642-1234. 1234. Do you have a love-hate relationship with the city? Do you think the state needs more or less of Madison? And what does that really mean anyway? What does it mean to you? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Bob, who joins us from Franklin. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Yeah, I think this tweet is a strange thing to say because I'm from Franklin, and when I think about Madison, I'm not thinking about the city. I'm thinking about the state government, and I agree with the Republicans in control. We need less Madison in our lives, so that's my point.
Bob, thanks for calling. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, it's an excellent point. The people who control Madison, the state capital, are all Republicans, including Governor Walker. And the communities that I go into and the communities that I hear from are really hurting under the Republican domination in our state government because there hasn't been the investments made in our communities. There hasn't been the investments made in making sure we have a strong road transportation system. There hasn't been a consistent, strong investment in our public school infrastructure. And so communities are hurting throughout the state. They really are. And the people who are responsible for the 7 years of neglect that has led to our communities really struggling and not having the revenue to make investments is Scott Walker and the Republicans in charge. So they are in charge in Madison, in the state capital, and I think we have seen some really devastating consequences for our state, not just Madison, but communities throughout our state.
Madison was ranked the most caring city in America in a Wallet Hub survey that came out last month. It was based on 36 metrics that fall into one of several categories: caring for the community, caring for the vulnerable, and caring in the workforce. As a Madison resident, what do you make of this survey?
Right. Well, it's something that I see every single day in my community. You know, the last guest talked about this Madison mentality. And look, the mentality here in Madison is that we really value strong community. We really value making investments in our children. We really value making investments in paying people fairly and protecting our environment. You know, we just heard a report that we're going to be, we're focused on renewable energy here because we want to live in a clean environment. We don't want to drink polluted water. So that's the mentality here in Madison. I'm very proud of it. And I think it's shared throughout the state. I don't think it's any different than what communities want throughout the state. So that is the mentality here. I'm really proud of it. I think we're a very compassionate, caring community. And I do believe it's one reason that young people want to move to Madison. You know, we're doing very well in really maintaining millennial workers, and that's so important for the state when we have this aging workforce. According to a study by CBRE in 2017, and this is a commercial brokerage firm, over the last decade, Madison has really bucked a Midwestern trend of losing millennial workers. We're actually adding millennial workers, which we need so desperately for our state. So why on earth would this governor be out there bashing Madison? It just makes no sense.
Let's bring in Steve, who joins us from Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And I know the guest will probably bash my experience, but my experience moving to Madison in the late 90s was extremely positive. I loved it here. I didn't think it was overly political. I didn't have a lot of experience in Wisconsin, but I thought it was a fantastic place to be. When Walker was elected, I saw the underbelly of the liberal community come out. The hate is just incredible. The derangement syndrome, when first it was Walker and now it was Trump, I'm afraid to open my mouth with any type of conservative speech at all. And again, I expect your guests to bash me over this, but that is my experience, how hateful and disgusting some of the people are in Madison in relation to anyone that has a different thought than they do.
Steve, thank you. And he's saying, you know, Act 10 was a turning point. Representative Taylor?
Yeah, and, you know, I don't go around bashing people. That's not my style. And you're the guest, certainly entitled to his experience, and that makes me very, very sad. I do think that these very divisive politics that Governor Walker has embraced has brought on out the worst in some people on the left and on the right. I have seen in the state capitol just an absolute abuse of power. I have seen corrupt politics take hold of our state. And so, you know, I think as a very progressive person who represents a very progressive district, it's been really, really hard to watch the devastation that has occurred to our state because of these Walker policies, and it's in all areas. And so, unfortunately, I do think sometimes people respond in a way that's very angry and very, maybe very hostile. That has, you know, that's not my experience in living in Madison. I'm sorry that that is the guest experience, but I think there has been a very strong backlash here in Madison against these really, really harmful policies, because we are a compassionate city. We do care about people. And I see the harm being done to people by these policies every single day. And we don't have the votes to stop it in the state capitol. And it's been devastating for our state. It's been devastating for families all over the state whose wages are stagnant, who's, you know, they're wondering if their children are going to have the same opportunities that they did. And an ad campaign can't mask the 7 years of neglect from the governor, from the Walker administration. So I'm sad for the experience of the speaker. You know, unfortunately, I think some of these very hateful, divisive policies bring out the worst in people.
Let's bring in Jim now in Rochester, Minnesota. Go ahead, Jim. Hi, Jim.
The last half. Hi. Good morning.
Yep.
I just am surprised that there would be any bashing of Madison if you can go external and get away from personal biases. It gets consistently fantastic ratings. Forbes magazine as one of the most livable cities. ARP right now on their website has it as the number one city, medium size, in the country. U.S. News and World Report, which does, I don't know if you're familiar, they're very credible. They rate hospitals. They just rated Mayo Clinic number one for the second year in a row. They do a study of livability of cities, and they did it in 2017. And Madison, of all cities, of all sizes, was number 18, so it made the cut of the top 20. Minneapolis and St. Paul were number 17. So when economists and surveys are taken, Madison consistently is in the top. And I believe, I don't have my copy of Forbes from about 2 years ago, but I believe it was also listed, I could be wrong on this, but Rochester was listed as one of the most livable cities for the next 20 years projecting out. So I just wish people would embrace Madison as being a real jewel in the country in terms of more objective ratings that are taken by magazines like Forbes, ARP as an organization, and the other one, U.S. News and World Report.
Jim, thanks for bringing it to our attention. Representative Taylor.
Well, yes, all of the above is true, and the Walker administration knows that, and that's why they're promoting Madison. And they're listing Madison on their own website as being one of the best cities to live in America. So as Governor Walker, unfortunately, continues to engage in this very divisive rhetoric that's designed to divide the people of this state, not to unite us around a common goal of making sure our state succeeds, while he's out there bashing Madison, his own administration is promoting Madison, is spending $1 million, is seeking to get about $7 million more dollars to advertise, to attract people to our state. You know, personally, I don't think we should be needing to advertise to have people move here. I mean, if this governor made the investments in our communities, invested in our children, invested in our public infrastructure, made sure that we were investing in the amenities and transit that attract young people, we wouldn't have to be spending millions on this ad campaign. Instead, this governor has prioritized tax cuts for super rich people and his campaign donors, and has not made the investments in our state and in our communities that keep people here and that attract people. That is the bottom line. I want a governor who is going to unite us in that goal. I want a governor, and I hope this is shared by the people of this state, who promotes all areas of our state. We have amazing communities, whether they be red, whether they be voting Republican or voting Democrat. We have amazing communities throughout this, throughout our state. We should be promoting them, not criticizing them. Can you imagine if that this becomes some kind of national story about Madison having a high crime rate or Madison, you know, not promoting jobs or not promoting businesses?
Representative,
That's bad for our state.
This all circles back to the governor's race, where we see a very crowded field of Democrats. Would Madison Mayor Paul Soglin make an effective governor?
You know, I believe that we have a very strong Democratic field right now. And what I know about Mayor Soglin and what I know about these other candidates as well, I have colleagues running in this race, is that they will make sure every single day they are going to bat for the people of the state of Wisconsin. This governor has left the people of our state behind for his own political ambitions. It is a tragedy what he has done to our state and the communities throughout our state. These Democratic challengers are going to make sure, and I believe they all share this goal, that they are out there every single day and they are protecting the backs of the people of the state, regardless of where the people live, that they will be governor, and I believe Paul Soglin and the others will be a governor for the entire state, and will be advocates for the entire state and the people of our state. That we have not seen, tragically, from Governor Walker.
Representative Taylor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Chris Taylor is a Democratic state representative from Madison. Earlier, we talked with former Republican state representative Michelle Litchens from Elm Grove. This hour of the morning show, this state capitol report was produced by Bill Martins and Nyasia Ellison. Brittany Williams provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Stay with us.